welcome you guys to the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast, CSS DFS as we call it. Clay Squirrel, that's me, and Smizzle Al Zeidenfeld. You can find us on video every Thursday on ESPN's NFL YouTube feed, and the podcast is also presented by Geico. Download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey, Mike Clay.
Hey, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a long time.
We just did the season-long show together, sitting here side by side, did not move. Al Zeidenfeld was on that season-long show. It was a ton of fun. Al, you wearing the same shirt for this show that you wore that show?
I should have ran and changed. I'm sorry.
You didn't want to put any effort in at all?
I gotta shake my tail when I walk. I'm sorry. I'm better than that.
That's all right. Hey, let's get into this. Week 6 recap.
How comes you want to do the recap?
These are always so much fun.
Your mood is different than the last 3 weeks.
Week 6 recap.
It's weird.
First off, Scott McCormick won our Fantasy Focus DFS League. 211.72 points last week.
Nice
Scott
effort.
McCormick, good for you. I came in with 170.
Great week.
0.08 points. I was inside the top 100. Mike, you had 155.08. Also, that's also a great week.
Oh, yeah. We were
both in cash.
We were there. We're on fire the last couple of weeks for sure. That's a huge number. If you put anything close to that, you won your head-to-head. You most likely, or you certainly won in the upper 50th percentile, 50-50 leagues. I had Daniel Jones. That burned me. I thought early in the day, I was like, I thought I was gonna like crush you. I was up there. I mean, I was in the top 100 most of the day, and then the wheels fell off with Jones, unfortunately. But otherwise, we had a good week. Our values pretty much all hit, and we'll try to do it again this week.
While I look up what my team was, because I forgot, I want to just really quickly remember
again.
The team.
You didn't want to do this the past 3 weeks.
Why don't
you
tell people?
It's all about you. Just want to move right on to the next thing.
Why don't you tell people how they can join us and be able to play against us in DFS?
Yes, you can do that. Our league is over. We'll put out the link on Twitter. So at Mike Clay NFL, at what's your name?
Daniel Dopp.
Daniel Dopp. That's it. At Al Zeidenfeld. We will put out the link to the league. We're not going to really give much more information on social media because we don't want the non-listeners to know that. It's free to enter with $200 in prizes. So join up. Again, no cost at all, and you can compete against us and a few thousand other listeners and try to win the pot. Again, Mr. Scott McCormick took home some free cash this past week, so you can try to do the same.
This is my lineup. Patrick Mahomes, he was good. Taylor was good. Jonathan Taylor was great. Khalil Herbert switched
good.
To him last minute, 19.2.
I think I had him in there too. I did, yeah.
Tyreek Hill, 22.6. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cooks, 17.9.
Love
Van
it.
Jefferson hurt, 4.9.
Yeah.
That was tough. Travis Kelce, 17.9. Ricky Seals-Jones, 15.8. And the Cardinals defense at 12. If Van Jefferson, man.
Yeah, that's a nice one. That's
Van
a nice
Jefferson.
One. And I don't think he was getting you 41 to take Scott McCormick down, but it was a good
I agree.
Again.
Yeah. But what I take away from that lineup, Mike, is that this week, you saw what I did at quarterback, and you were like, I need to do what Daniel did last week, because that obviously is the winning
that's
combination.
That's called foreshadowing.
And you went to Patrick Mahomes here at $8,400, taking on the Tennessee Titans. Talk to me. I mean, obviously, Mahomes is expensive, but he's expensive because he's freaking amazing.
Yeah, and again, it's like... Especially if people listen to the first podcast and we gave you the basics and then said turn over and listen to this if you want to hear some week 7 values, it's like, yeah, of course, Patrick
of course,
Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Like, oh, but yeah, big decision there to start the best quarterback in the league right now, the top scoring fantasy quarterback. But again, it's all about value, right? Some weeks Mahomes is going to be a good play. Some weeks he's not. It's going to depend on his price. It's going to depend on the matchup. And this week he's playing at Tennessee. So even at 8,400, I like the value here. 25.6 fantasy points per game for him so far this season. He has 19 or more points in every game. And again, I'm at least talking cash values here, right? Look at that floor, 19 plus every game. He also has 23 plus in all but one game this season. The exception was Buffalo, the best defense in the NFL. So he has been pretty much guaranteed to get you 23 plus in a neutral or light matchup, which he has a light matchup this week. Tennessee, fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They gave up 34 to Kyler, 29 to Josh Allen, 23 to Russell Wilson, 22 to Trevor Lawrence, 18 to Zach Wilson, and they had a good game against Wentz with 8. But again, much like Mahomes has had such a high floor, the Tennessee defense has on the other side allowing so much production. 300-plus yard bonus for Mahomes 3 times. He has 2-plus touchdowns in every game. He's on pace for, get this, remember when he won the MVP, when he
I
threw
do.
50 touchdowns?
Yep.
He has an extra game this year, but he's on pace for 51 passing touchdowns. He has been terrific. Top 5 in rushing yards as well. I mean,
that's
awesome for him.
I mean, it's worth the cash because of the, such having such a high floor and a high ceiling. I think he's worth it this week.
One thing that I always thought about Patrick Mahomes is if he could ever just learn how to run, he might finally be something in this league.
Yeah, right.
And he's finally starting to do just a little bit of that.
Finally.
You know?
It's good he listened to you.
It's about time.
I mean,
it's about time.
Goodness.
Al, let's talk with you about a quarterback. I know you don't do this on purpose. I actually watched your stream this week when you were talking about your Week 7 lineup, and I appreciate the earmuffs that you always give to me, but Matthew Stafford, $7,100, taking on my Detroit Lions this week at home in L.A. Seems like a pretty easy play here with Matthew Stafford.
I mean, look, this is kind of like a multi-layered 4D chess sort of thinking thing. But like, you know, Mike always comes in with the Leanne Rimes plays and you know, he's all about value. That's what he does. I'm trying to outthink people a little bit. Now, it doesn't seem like it because Matthew Stafford's really good. And like in his three home games this year, he's averaging 315 passing yards with 9 total touchdowns. So like, I'm not really outthinking people from a Matthew Stafford standpoint, but you guys mentioned on the last podcast that Henderson is once again going to be a very popular play. And if you're playing Henderson, a lot of people are not going to play Matthew Stafford, which means that double stacks of Stafford could be slightly underplayed this week. Not massively, because a lot of people are going to be on Cook, but Cooper Kupp, but you're going to have a spot where maybe you can get after it if you play that double stack in a bring back. So Matthew Stafford is my play at $7,100. And he's just been an absolute stud. And yeah, Detroit's allowing the highest passer rating in the NFL with at like 113.8. And he's just been outstanding. Like the Rams offense is absolutely unstoppable. And just because Henderson might be a really high floor, high ceiling type option, it does not mean that Matthew Stafford can't throw for 3 or possibly more touchdowns to satisfy. And both could, you know, reach value here with one of them being much less trafficked.
So we always keep track of our score, like our head-to-head in our league, in the three league. I think we need another scoreboard where it's just like if I get Al's references or not, and just keep track of that because I think I would be like,
did you get the
maybe
Leanne Rimes?
1 yes, 47 no's this year.
Say, you're 0 for the season. Did you get the Leanne Rimes?
Nope.
One?
I heard the name. Oh. I was like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Again,
you're like Leanne Rimes because you're all about value.
Is that
God,
a Leanne
come
Rimes
on,
song?
Michael.
Leanne. Oh. Is that a song?
I just don't even know what to say at this point.
I don't know what we're talking about going out and doing trivia together. It's gonna be a disaster.
Oh, this is gonna be tough. I don't know
anything.
I forgot.
They're like,
we need a camera on Mike at trivia, please.
We need like
seriously.
The next category is third string tight ends. I got you guys. After that, I'm out. I'm just leaving. Eat my wings, get those tight ends, and then I'm gone. So.
Numbers that start with 4. So. Let's talk about a couple of running quarterbacks real quick. But obviously, I'm with you, Al. Listen, Matthew Stafford, $7,100, and he's going up against the Lions. There's so much to be able to like about him there. We also like Matt Ryan, $5,700. That seems really cheap, taking on Miami. And Jalen Hurts, $6,900, taking on the Raiders. Hurts ranks 3rd in opportunities this season, which is pass attempts and rushing yards. And the only two people that rank above him are more than $800 more expensive on this slate. So you know he's getting opportunities, and the way that he utilizes his legs, man, he's always worthwhile here in DFS.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about a couple of running backs, Mike. Darrell Henderson, $6,600. Again, taking on the Detroit Lions. Just set up for a really good matchup here.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, you said it's $6,600. It's just a little too cheap right now. I think he's a good value. Again, a lot of good players out in a bye this week. So he is 3rd in pricing. But he's RB6 in fantasy during his 5 active weeks. And again, I'm focusing on cash lineup value here. And he has an incredibly high floor, 15.7. That is his lowest fantasy point total output this season. He's averaging 18.2 fantasy points per game. The volume has been terrific, 16.2 carries and 3.4 targets per game. And then on top of all that, you know, in a neutral matchup, even maybe a tougher matchup, you still like him because of his usage. He has an incredibly good matchup this week. Detroit, most touchdowns and most fantasy points over expected to running backs this season. They've allowed at least 23 fantasy points to 4 running backs. They've allowed at least 15 to 3 more on top of that. So that's 7 running backs. And that's more running backs in games. They've only played 6. They've allowed 7 running backs to get to 15 points. And Henderson needs, 17 or 18 to we think about 3X as just a loose roll. He's at 6,600. You know, that's 19 points or so. You know, I think he should be able to get here in this matchup. Certainly a very high floor.
I agree with that. Al, another guy that I also really love this week, and I heard you talk about him, Leonard Fournette, $6,400, just has a great matchup here against the Bears.
His volume's been absolutely fantastic the last 3 weeks. The Buccaneers have an implied team total of 30 points. That's 4+ touchdowns expected from this team. 22 carries last week, 6 targets. Against New England in week 4 on the road, 5 targets, 20 carries. That sort of volume and all of the inside the 5 carries that he has been getting since taking over the primary role. He's getting 65%+ of the snaps at running back for the Buccaneers over the last few weeks. All leads to fantasy success. It's all those 5 boxes that we've talked about. Expectation of 20+ touches? Yes. Involved in the passing game? Yes. Inside the 5 carries? Yes. Home and favored? Yes and yes. And you get the benefit of a 30+ expected points from his team. So like all signs are pointing to yes for me for Leonard Fournette, and he's only 6,400.
Yeah. I like Leonard Fournette this week too. I think that's going to be real. I love that call, Al.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that their implied total is 30. I don't know what my line is, but Chicago, I mean, they're one thing they're doing is playing decent defense. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you can't argue with the production and volume for Fournette.
Did you mean the only thing they're doing is playing decent defense? Cause they aren't. I don't think they're playing. Are they even playing offense? Do they go out there on offense, or do they just play defense all the time?
I think you're right. I think they just punt right away.
Yeah, it's
based
just
on their fantasy output on offense. It sounds right. I mean, look, Allen Robinson's what, 60th in fantasy points? 64th? So there's no way they're playing offense because that's not possible.
Yeah. It's just unreal. No. All right. A couple of other running backs that we like. Derrick Henry, $9,200.
It's still low. I mean, he is the highest scoring player in fantasy. And when I say that, I don't mean at non-quarterback. I mean,
just
all players.
The board.
He is crushing it.
He is unreal so far this year. $9,200 against Kansas City. DeAndre Swift, $6,000 against the Rams. I swear this guy is $6,000 every single week, and he just continues to put up points. Chuba Hubbard, $6,100, taking on the Giants. Cordarrelle Patterson, $6,300, taking on Miami. I just want to, this is a really cool note from Kyle. Derrick Henry could set a career high for receptions in a season this week if he gets 4 catches, which is something you could easily do this week with the way that they're utilizing him in the passing game. But that means in 8 weeks, he will have had the most catches that he's ever had in a season if he does that.
Yeah.
Oh, 7 weeks.
We've
You're right. This week 7.
For that for years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's big because his touchdowns rate will come down, right? He's off the charts. You guys talked about it on the pod the other day. A tweet I put out was the Titans offense, based on their play calling and based on what we've seen from them in the past 2 years with Ryan Tannehill, they're like double their rushing touchdown rate. So that'll come down a little. And that's good news if you have Ryan Tannehill. He'll score more touchdowns going forward. And again, I know they changed coordinators and play callers, but even their play calling this year suggests that they should be like have double the passing touchdown rate. So that will fix itself a little bit going forward. But again, Henry's involved in the passing game. He's still going to be really good on the ground. He still could rush for 2,000 yards. But that passing game works huge for him, and whether it's DFS or season long, it increases his floor, makes him less likely to have a bust week.
Al, I want to know, do you own or rent your homes?
Yeah, both.
Sure you do. I'll bet it can be real hard work too, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, let's talk about a couple of wide receivers here, Mike. Brandon Cook, $6,000. Coming in against the Arizona Cardinals. Again, we talked in the first show about the wide receiver cornerback matchup. Mm-hmm. Davis Mills doesn't scare you away as a quarterback for Brandon Cooks in DFS?
Well, Mills has been his quarterback most of the season, and he's delivered. Cooks has been tremendous. And look, he's 14th in pricing. It's just too low. I mean, again, with 6 teams on a bye injuries, it's too low. He's priced below Julio Jones and Robert Woods. He's outperformed them this year. You know, he should
easily get
higher
more targets than
those guys. Than
both of them this week too.
Well, yes, I mentioned in the season long show he's been targeted on 31% of his routes. It's a huge number. Basically every 3 routes he runs, they're throwing him the football. And it's led to fantasy production. 18+ fantasy points in 4 of his 6 games. The exceptions were predictable. The Bills and the Patriots, 2 really good teams at finding ways to shut down number 1 receivers. So that makes sense. He only has 1 touchdown this year. And again, he's still putting up the numbers. It shows you the volume and production that he's put up. He's averaging 9.5 targets per game. Think about how good he's been throughout his career. That is a career high. His target usage, a career high. 11 or more targets in half his games. He's 7th at receiver in targets. He's 5th in air yards and still has a 70% catch rate. So to your point about the quarterback, it hasn't mattered. He's catching 70% of his balls despite being a downfield target. it's just, it's worked out well. It's, he's been tremendous this season. And then he's facing Arizona. Just to recap what we talked about in the first show, 10 touchdowns to receivers this season. That is most in the NFL. The 12th most fantasy points, the 9th most to the perimeter. And again, he lines up on the perimeter 70% of the time. It just, everything sets up well for him here.
Yeah, I love that call. Al, let's talk about Sterling Shepard. I know you like a lot of wide receivers here in this like $55,000 to $6,000 range, but Sterling Shepard comes in as one. $5,600 should be a target monster this week, assuming we'll see how the rest of that wide receiving core breaks out.
Yeah, pretty much every week, right? Five straight games with at least 9 targets. Now, Kyle and I had kind of been brainstorming a metric. We're calling it, I don't know what we're calling, DK dot, you know, kind of sounds like A dot, one of Mike's metrics that he made. Expected fantasy points based on DraftKings scoring by average depth of target. So at Sterling Shepard's A dot, he should be getting about 1.7 expected points per target. And is it out of the realm of possibility based on his 3 games that he started and finished this year, 14 targets, 10 targets, 9 targets, coupled with the MASH unit that still is the New York Giants wide receiver with Galladay missing practice on Wednesday with a questionable Tony, probably not going to play Slayton. Maybe he plays Ross. He's got these really safe targets. If he gets 10 targets, easy to say that he's probably going to project at a median of 15 to 17 points and easily pay off this $5,600 salary. And if he happens to sneak into the paint, we have ourselves a ceiling game.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I freaking love that call. It's another great one.
Agreed. Yep.
Cooper Kupp, couple other wide receivers here that we like. Cooper Kupp, $8,400. It's expensive, but taking on the Detroit Lions, you could absolutely see him get in the end zone a couple times. Calvin Ridley, $6,600 against Miami. I'm telling you, Calvin Ridley is going to come out strong this week. I'm just calling it. Devontae Adams, $8,900 against Washington football team. Devontae Parker, $5,000 against Atlanta. Tyreek Hill, $8,600 against Tennessee. Again, sometimes those high-priced wide receivers, man, that's going to be a good game. That I'm excited to watch Derrick Henry and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
A lot of Tyreek offense Hill. There.
T. Higgins, $4,900, taking on Baltimore. Jamar Chase, $6,200. There's a big gap between those two wide receivers, but also potentially a really nice double-stack option. So a few other wide receivers that we like this week in case you wanted to fill other few others into your lineup. All right, let's move over to tight end, Mike, where we're going to talk about Dallas Goedert, $4,600, assuming that he plays. I don't think that he has he come off the...
No, but he's... it's
he did.
He's not a lock to come off. Oh, he did today?
I just got in my ear that he did come off the list.
Oh, okay. All right. He's expected to play is what I last saw. But nonetheless, if he plays, he's a tremendous value here. Usually we talk about a Monday night football discount player, and we don't necessarily have that here, but we have a teammate got traded discount, right?
Yeah.
Zacherts gets shipped away, and Dallas Goedert checks in at $4,600. That's tight end 8 in pricing. He's so far this season, he's averaging 3.8 targets per game. I could see that doubling, and that might seem like a big stretch with Ertz gone, but Ertz was seeing about 6+ targets per game. The other tight ends are Jack Stoll and Noah Togaye, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's just not much there. So I think you're going to see more throws to the wide receivers and certainly more throws to Dallas Goedert. And it aligns with almost doubling it would align with the past 2 years, 5.8 targets per game in 2019, 5.9 in 2020. If he gets to that territory, and he could see more than that too, he's going to be in good shape. He had 2 top 8 fantasy weeks with Zach Ertz in 5 games together. And if you look at last season, the kind of nugget here other than the defense, 4 games without Zach Ertz last year, 23 targets, 17 catches, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, was the tight end 3 during those weeks. And then again, the Raiders defense, 6 most fantasy points to tight ends, the most over the past month, 19+ fantasy points to Noah Fant, Jared Cook, Mike Gesicki. I think Goddard here will be next in line. So he's at his price, I think it's a good spot to use him. I only expect that price to go up going forward.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. And we just saw about an hour ago, it looks like he was activated
there
off of the reserve COVID-19 list. We were doing the other show, so I'm going to give you a little bit of slack. Otherwise, normally I'd be all over you.
I mean, I could check Twitter while we're doing the show.
I appreciate you being here with me, Mike Clay. Oh, you're such a great dude. All right. Al Zeidenfeld, let's talk about another tight end. In fact, Mike just mentioned him. Mike Gesicki, who has been an absolute target monster lately, been crushing it. This week, taking on who? The Falcons. Oh, gosh. That's a matchup that you are excited about.
Yeah. I mean, look, you've already mentioned Matt Ryan. You've already mentioned Calvin Ridley. I'm going to talk about Gesicki here because this game kind of looks like a sneaky, stackable play. It's not the highest total on the slate. They don't have the highest team total, either team, but both teams operate in the top 10 in terms of pace, which means more snaps, more opportunities. And what has Mike Gesicki done with those opportunities? 34 targets over the last 4 weeks. They line him up in the slot. They line him up outside a lot. Mike has spoken to the fact that a lot of tight ends can't do well with that, but Mike Gesicki can beat those outside sort of coverage guys, the corners, because of how athletic he really is, a top 1% spark athlete. The Falcons allow the 7th highest completion percentage to the slot this season at 75%. So those low ADOT targets are very easily convertible into catches. And over the past 3 weeks, the leaders in slot catches in the league, Cooper Kupp with 16, Tyreek Hill with 15, and Mike Gesicki with 14. This looks like a spot where he can not only get you there on volume, but Atlanta has allowed 10.7% of the tight end targets against them to result in a touchdown. So there's big time upside and floor here with Mike Gesicki, and it kind of looks like one of those sneaky stacks for tournaments.
I like it. I like it a lot, Al. Again, a couple other tight ends, Travis Kelce, $7,600. We could also just say, just always play Travis Kelce. I think that's a line that works. Mark Andrews, $6,000 taken on Cincy, and Cole Kmet, $3,000 taken on Tampa. If you want, you got to find a place to go low. That's a good punt.
Yeah, it's a punt. He's seen a handful of targets a game. It hasn't translated to production yet, but you know, if you're seeing a handful of targets a game, all it takes is one touchdown and your money. I feel like his breakout is coming based on his usage. It just hasn't happened yet.
And listen, if I'm going to punt on a player, right, in a situation like this, I want to punt on a player where I think the other team, Al said, the implied score is 30 plus, right?
Yeah.
So that they're going to have to be throwing. Oh, and it just sets up where, like, if you're punting, that's what you're going for.
Yes.
All right. Beard versus the Brain is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Mike and I are tied 3-3 in our head-to-head lineups heading into week 7. It's actually been a pretty good back and forth so far this year.
It has. If you total all our points together, I'm up 15, so it's really close.
Really?
I could swing this week. So.
That's impressive. All right, give us your week 7 head-to-head lineup, Mike.
All right, so I'm going to go with all the guys I talked about here. Patrick Mahomes is my quarterback, running back on Daryl Henderson against Detroit, and DeAndre Swift on the other side. So we got both running backs in that game. Wide receivers, Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, who's 4,900, just too cheap. I know he's been quiet since his return, but still plenty involved. Darnell Mooney, a little bit of a punt there at 4,600. He's one guy I don't feel super comfortable with, but again, they're going to have to throw a lot in Tampa Bay this week. Dallas Goedert is, of course, my tight end. Brandon Cooks in the flex, and I'll go with the Eagles defense. They're traveling to play the Raiders, so hoping for a big play there from the defense.
All right, I like it. We have 4 overlaps this week. My lineup looks like this. I got Matt Ryan in at quarterback, $5,700. He's going to outperform that price point. He's just going to.
Mm-hmm. I like him, too. He's a really good value.
Darrell Henderson, same as you. I got Leonard Fournette, somebody Al talked about, $6,400 with that workload. Calvin Ridley as my stack with Matt Ryan. The other side of that stack is going to be Jalen Waddle for me.
There you go.
At $5,600. I got Brandon Cooks as one of my third wide receiver, 6,000 there. TJ Hockenson as my tight end on the other side of the Daryl Henderson play. And then I got Sterling Shepard and all of those targets he has right now in my flex with the Eagles at defense. I'm just trying to get as many targets as possible. There's just opportunity galore, I feel like, in this lineup, and I like it.
Yeah, definitely a lot of high floor target guys. That's a really good sign. Waddle's an interesting name, too. He's had a connection. He's all 3 of his touchdowns so far have been with Tua under center weeks 1 and this past week. So, and you know, top 10 draft pick, a receiver, a lot of
sooner
or
later.
That price may be, you know, it's 5,600. It's not super low, but I mean, maybe a lot higher if he keeps this up.
He's got that home run ability that we've seen it. We know it's there. We just haven't seen it yet in the pros. And as soon as it happens, like, you know, find one of these price points in 1 week, it's going to break out. And I like Al was saying, this game, that this Matt Ryan, and whether you're stacking someone with the Falcons, I really like the ability there.
And so. Love Shepard, too. It's good. Good line. I mean, I'll win, but
oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're definitely going to win this week, but it's a good one. Yeah, yeah. Al, why don't you give us your tournament lineup for week 7?
I really like that you guys referenced the shower narrative without referencing the shower narrative, considering Tua and Jalen Waddle. They played in college together. They've showered together, just like Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow. Right?
Yes.
Like the shower narrative is in full flex this year. I'm going with Matthew Stafford double stack here, as I talked about at the open, with Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson. I'm going to bring that back with DeAndre Swift at running back.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette, I'm going to play him as well because I like playing guys that have an awful lot of carries and targets and everything else that goes along with it. My secondary stack is going to be Sterling Shepard and Chumba Wumba, Chuba Hubbard. And Ricky Seals-Jones, I needed some value at tight end. He's a standalone one-off play. And then the Cardinals defense at 3,100.
Oh, I was trying so hard to find a way to make the Cardinals defense work in my lineup if I wasn't going to play Brandon Cooks. Talk to me about this, Al, just really quickly before we end the show. I was trying to find a way to get Brandon Cooks into my lineup. And I loved it. But I also really think that the Cardinals defense is in a really good spot against Davis Mills this week. You can't play in a tournament. You can't play both Cooks and that defense against each other because you're limiting your upside from that standpoint. Correct?
No, you you okay. I steer clear of doing it. There would be situations where I'll allow it. Defensive scoring is mostly based on the floor, at least, is based on pressure on the quarterback, right? Pressure on the quarterback turns into sacks, sacks turn into strip sacks and fumbles, which turn into fat man touchdowns. And you also get pressure creates pick sixes on the outside.
Sure.
So you want that pressure, but also when you're having somebody like Cooks, who you're expecting 9 to 13 targets out of, he can get there on targets because scored is not something that you should worry about with the defense. Like if Cooks scores a touchdown or two, that's not what you're worried about. You're hoping that the Cardinals defense gets interceptions and fumbles and turns them into touchdowns because that's how you get upside, those 25 plus point days on defense. And that just gives the ball back to Houston's offense, which is good for your Cook share. So not something I completely shy away from. I will do it. I won't play a quarterback stack against the defense.
Sure.
But a one-off play like a wide receiver that gets volume in PPR, not that terrible.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, Cooks' production this year has not come from touchdowns. He only has one.
Yeah.
Right? So he may not. True. He could have a huge day. He could go for 130 on 15 targets because they're playing from behind.
Yep.
Not score a touchdown. And both of you.
And they both go off.
Both panned out for you.
Yeah. All right, guys. This is a ton of fun, as it is every week. Thank you so much, Mike and Al. Make sure that you follow them on Twitter, at MikeClayNFL, at Al Zeidenfeld. I am at Daniel Dopp. Don't forget to love each other. We will see you guys in week 8, and good luck this week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.